I work at the Greenlands Social Club. Been working there since September 2008. I work on the door and also do a lot of light maintenance work around the club. Keep things ticking over. A friend of mine saw it advertised in the shop window on the corner. I was out of work at the time, looking for a job. After being made redundant, after 20 years. So I came here, had the interview, and did a little trial run at the weekend. Yeah. And they took me on. 6 months trial. They love the way you greet them as they come in. It's all a sense of part of the club, because you're the first person that they see. When I first started working here, to me, working front of house on the door, your appearance says a lot. And your appearance, you haven't even got to say nothing, but it commands a lot of respect. When people see you there, dressed in a business-like way, they tend to approach you completely differently than if you were just there in the jeans and a beer and a t-shirt. Nice pair of black trousers, black shoes, black jacket, black shirt and a red tie. I don't normally dress like this, but this is just like now and again, you just have a different change of style. It's funny because I remember some of the kids said to me once, they said, are you the manager here? And I think to myself, that's how they view you. And another thing as well I forgot to mention is, because as you get to know people, you treat the kids with respect, the same as you do with the grown-ups. And, you know, the kids come along and they find you approachable. They draw you pictures, you put on your wall, and they give you sweets and things like that, and they always want to have a little chat. I think that's quite nice as well, part of the social side of things as well, with this establishment. So, yeah, it's quite good. So you try and cater for everybody. To me, this place is like the hub of the community, because it's a social club, and it's right in the middle of Longbridge, where it is, and people come from the station. First thing they see as they come out the station, the Greenlands. A lot of people say I've got a nice, pleasant personality, because once again, is when they come through the door, you can have a nice laugh and a joke with them. They used to buy me drinks at one time, but they don't do anymore. I don't know why. Must have found it was getting too expensive. There's three of us that work here on a shift basis. They cut our hours down during the week because there's not many people come in during the week, Monday to Thursday. But then the rest of the time, I'm always here. I'm here nearly every single day. Obviously, it was a shock when the factory went, because I remember at the time it closed, I was working for a company delivering vehicles, collecting and delivering vehicles. And I remember we used to collect vehicles from Rover to take to different dealers. And when I remember coming there one day with the vehicle to check it in, and there was just security there, the place was on lockdown. So I went down to where we'd normally put the cars, but then there was nobody there, so I had to bring it back up to security. By then the lorries were going out, they were making sure nothing was going out the factory. All the curtain sides were being lifted up, nothing was going out the factory. So I kept hold of the car I had, got in touch with my company. They got us another hire car, then I had to bring the car back. But it was a very sad, sad time when you think of what happened to this community when it all went. Everything just... A lot of pubs went and all sorts around here. The government tried a scheme, didn't they, to get people jobs and give them priority for jobs. But it was a sad day. But at the end of the day, and I think it took about 5-6 years for people to get that through their heads that it had gone. And the little company that's up there now, I don't think you get many people from there coming here, because the Chinese consortium had bought they still got the MG name going. So I think with the college here now and where the club is and what the club's trying to promote, I think it has got a long-term future here. Sometimes it might look like nothing's happening here, but it's a bit of a survivor, this club. And I think because it's gone from, like I say, heaving at one time with all the factory workers here, 24/7, to the way it's gone now, but yet still it still keeps going because of where it is and what's happened to the area. And I think once a year as well, you still have the rover workers. They always have a meeting here and they have a film on. And they see a lot of the old boys from the factory who used to work at the factory come here. A lot of them are retired, obviously retired, but from donkeys years ago, they all come here. This place is packed. This room is packed. And they've got the screen down and they've got like black and white movies of the old factory and different ones and things like that. So it's a quite nice reunion for ones like that. So, and also they have a lot of funerals there as well, wakes, which, well, that's sad, but all these things help the club keep going. It all keeps all part of the community of the club. But I think that things are really picking up. I'm personally. And whenever we can, we try to promote it. So it's all building up. So although you're getting a different set now of people joining the club, rather than just the factory set, you're getting a different, broader section of the community, I think, coming in now. Whereas before, it was just working men, greasy overalls and all that type of thing. The way everything's gone these days, I mean, it's all across the board. This sort of thing's happened. The whole working pattern of everyone has changed now. I was talking to one person. They said that the chap at the car place around the corner. I said, "Oh, I didn't realise you were open today, Good Friday." He says, "Yeah." He says, "The only time we're not open is Sunday, because it's Easter Sunday." He said his daughter works for W.H. Smith's and they close for one day a year, which is Christmas Day. All the rest of the year, they're open. And even on Christmas Eve, they have to work till 8 o'clock. One time with work, he used to get overtime. Not the thing anymore, was overtime. You don't get overtime pay anymore, because overtime used to be a little bonus, but you don't get none of that. And it's all flat money all the way, all across the board now. There's no such thing. They might give you a little bonus now and again to do something, but other than that, there's no overtime. The whole work pattern's changed and we've just got to change with it. And the club's got to move with it as well. Because even the club itself, our hours get cut because of the economic situation. But now the college is in full swing and Marks and Spencers are there now and they're building up the area. The amount of house building that's been done on the old site, the old Rover site, it's absolutely amazing. Thousands of houses have gone up. I think if this place ever went, I think the whole of Longbridge would just die. Because there's nothing else around here. And all the other pubs now are either restaurants or, it's like a lot of the churches. They're either warehouses or flats. A lot of old churches, aren't they? You know, things like that. Even when I was in London, that's what was happening. I mean, when you travel around the country, you see some of them are turned into little markets even. They've got little stalls in there and coffee shops and things like that. So anybody can come here, as long as they behave themselves.
My name's Peter Averill. I'm the club president. I've been the club president there for 7 years. Previously that I was a trustee on the financial side. The club's history, I can tell you, started with a group of South Wales miners who came up to work at the Rover, or Austin as it was known then. And they bought this place up, which was then a manor house. And they set up the club and they called it the Greenlands to remind them of South Wales. And that's how it started. Originally, if you look at the Roll of Honour up there, people who died, you see a lot of Welsh names up there. That's how the club started up. And that was it officially became a club in 1947, but we believe it was an unofficial drinking place before that. 1947 is the first archive that we've actually got of it being a social club. It became part of the CIU in the mid-1950s. That's the club institution union. They became part of that. And they are still in that to this day. I joined when I moved into the area 30 years ago. As trustee of the club, I was able to do a lot of the accounts because I'm very figure-minded. Even now to this day, I do my wife's own accounts, her own accounts. I do her accounts because she's a self-employed chiropodist. So, and even now, as president, I oversee the all the accounts of this club. Every penny.
This is as
a block. It's changed a lot, especially since the Rover closed down, because I used to rely a lot on the Rover employees coming in here. But of course, when that went, people were worried. But we were surprised. Our initial take dropped by 10% in the following 6 months. But then it picked up again and slowly came back. So it wasn't the big devastating blow we were expecting it to be, which is what everyone thought. I was involved in getting the finance together for improving this room. I personally have always said I wanted to make this club a bit more family orientated to what it used to be, because it never was. Is this our children? No, we don't want them in here. But I've convinced a lot of people now our children are the future. If you can introduce them into the club at an early age, get them to join when they're 18 as a full member, then you can build up your future. Because in 20 years' time, I probably won't be here. But I want to see people 19, 20 who will be here in 20 years' time and carry on building what we have. A lot of the older members are in here. The bar is more of a younger person's area. But gradually, I've seen people graduate from the bar into the lounge, you know, where they say, oh, don't want to go in there. You know, some of the people at the bar call this the Coffin Dodgers Lounge. Seriously, that's what they call it. They're not going in there with the Coffin Dodgers. 10 years later, they're sitting in their cells. But that's part of life, that's growing up, isn't it? Yeah, everyone thinks they're mature at 21. They're not. They mature later on. No one matures until they turn 40. The entertainment in here is free on a Friday and Saturday night. You go to some other clubs, you have to pay to get it. But again, it's because of contributions for people who are taking cards round, doing our Saturday night raffles, Friday night raffles. That all goes towards it. The way we work things out is that I have pots of money earmarked for different projects. People come into a club because it's a social club. Which, if you haven't got the correct product at the right price and at the right quality to give that person, you might as well close your doors up. Because at the end of the day, it's a business. If you look at the actual committee, they're rather young. I mean, committee, when I came on, I think the average age was something like 75. I would say the average age of the committee here now is 40 to 45. And these are people who are, as I said early on, joined the club when they were 25, 26, now around the 40 mark, and they're getting involved with the club because they see that we're trying to do something for them. Myself, the three trustees, we don't get a penny out of the club. We do it because we love the club, and that's the people you need to get around you. It's as if in other clubs, everyone's got their name on their seat. Don't have that in here. I won't allow it. You know, everybody comes over to me and says, oh, I normally sit there. I say, well, there's no name on the seat. You have to sit somewhere else. You want that seat every Saturday night? Come in earlier. And people accept it.
I'm Joe Averill. I'm one of the trustees. I first came into the club around about Christmas of 1989-1990, that side of it. I was going through a bad time at that time as my first marriage was breaking down, and I came over to this area to spend time with my brother. My brother fetched me over, so I was having Sunday lunch and so forth at his house, and then we'd come down the club in general on the Sunday lunch and so forth. I got to know the club through that, And around about 6 months later or so forth, I met my wife, who happened to be a bar person behind the bar, Sheila. She'd worked here for quite a few years. As regards, it was helpful to her as regards she was a mum on her own, and the extra money would put food on her table. I moved in with Sheila, started using the club on a regular basis, and the old committee did look at us fairly closely, because to making sure there was no passing of drinks or anything like that across the bar, as I was a new face, not known. Over the years, I became obviously a full-time regular. It gave me a second chance from my first breakup, which I was helpful for. A lot of people, friendly people. I became part and parcel of a little community, if you like. And from that, I felt I needed to put things back into the club. Started doing little things for the club. I've always felt that a club should always look towards the younger people, as they're the ones that's going to be paying the bills when I want my old age pensioners party. I got involved with the committee. I was on the committee for a few years. Then I broke away. Then the opportunity came to become a trustee, which I did do, became a trustee. I do the bingo now full time. Unfortunately, I would like some more help, but it's people are busy. I enjoy my bingo as regards, it's just another big family. And that to me makes this one of the places I love to come to, and that's why I travel 4 miles down here, 4 miles back, and pay for taxis. Because I honestly like the club, and I like to put as much into the club as what I get out of it. I never actually worked at the plant. I've always been a contracting electrician. My son-in-law used to work at the plant, and he was one of those that took a package where they trained him as an HGV driver. Factory work, for me, was never something I liked. I liked to see fresh fields, and I spent a lot of years working away, which is possibly one of the reasons why I was divorced in 1990. But there is a lot of people at the factory that was there, and they had a lot of pride in the factory. I believe to a certain degree it was a working class, and possibly now there is a certain amount of snobbishness which you do get. We do get a lot of young people in here, which possibly they come in and they like the club because it's a fair price for a drink, and then when they've had enough, it's straight on the train to town. That's their life. I had my nights in town. No, I don't tend to do that. I like the place as regards that we have got a lot of people that have in the working lives have been managers and so forth and clap above, but I think a lot of the class side of this social side has gone. We're out here as a group of people to do mutual things that we enjoy. As regards the club, the CIUs and whatever, it is quite hard at the moment. It is hard. We have to rely on the goodwill of our members. That includes people like me that come down and do the maintenance. It's like people that will come in and fix a door and so forth to keep the place going. You rely on your members. I fear for the future of places like this, because I think the young think it's old-fashioned and not a place to be, but also it's a very family-friendly place. I hope that this club is forward enough to try and adapt to meet the new needs of the younger members which are going to be coming through. Because if it's like anything, if you don't adapt, then the place will die. But hopefully this club is a good, open, friendly place, and it is willing to listen and adapt, so that way hopefully it'll have a future for those that will walk through the door in 10 years time and fill a need. We have lost quite a few people over the years. There's loads of people that I know and respect because the way they dealt with themselves and they worked for the benefit of the club. Some years ago, I actually put a motion forward at the AGM of the club to have women made full members if they wish to be full members. And it was actually passed, but I was questioned quite diligently by Vic, who no doubt you'll meet and chat, as regards exact wordings on had women got to be full members, and the fact no, they hadn't, that they could be full members if they wished to, or they could stop as they was, and it was their choice. And with that, Vic actually backed it, and we did get it through. And I remember particularly our accountant, who we still have now, he was very, very surprised that the club was so forward-thinking that he actually went through to go. And that was around about 1983, which was some 6 years before the CIU actually adopted the fact that ladies could be members. So that is one of my prouder points or times in the club. I've actually been able to bring lady members as full and equal membership into the club. And I believe over the years the club has vastly benefited from that, because we've had quite a few lady members on the committee who bring their ideas and the female point of view on how things should be done, which men in some respects wouldn't even think about. And considering that at that time some of the northern clubs had not even got ladies' toilets in them, because they was supposedly left at home doing the Sunday lunch while the old man was out down the club having his few pints of bitter or mild or Guinness. My wife still enjoys the lady member card, adjudicated to me, because she's never wanted to be a full member, but that is purely her choice. But we have quite a few lady members who take full part into the club, including coming down at the AGMs, voting for certain motions and so forth. Now, we have got a membership bordering just under 1,000. Out of that, we've got about 200 to 250, which you could class as hardcore, which uses the club on a regular basis. But we've got a lady member that's the other side of Scotland, but her family's down here, and she comes down every Easter, every major bank holiday and Christmas. Her and her family come down and use the club as their base to meet the rest of the family in the area.
I've been using this place about 25 years now. It's got worse over the last few years. The Irish aren't coming here anymore like they used to before. It's getting the best thing I can say. It's not as good as what it used to be. It's a bit boring, to be honest. Every weekend was an air with the missus. And so we split up a few years back. But I'm with another missus now, and she's coming this Saturday for the first time for about 2 months. She's doing it because she's got the Sunday and the Monday off, and obviously the Friday. And she says, well, can we go out Saturday night? I says, yeah, whatever you want to do. She says, we'll go down the green, as we haven't been there for a while. I says, okay, not a problem. I was a tool setter for other companies. Because it was the nearest club to me at the time. Well, it was, the nearest club to me. I knew a few people in here anyway. And that was the story. I just knew a few people. So I come into them and got to know everybody. Well, most people that else coming here. A lot of them has died now, God rest them. And over the last few years, a lot of them has died. But that was the real reason I left, or I become a member.
Kevin Robert Patrick Joseph Fogarty. When Leyland finished Leyland, or Rover, or whatever you like to call it, I mean, all it was known, it was British Leyland, and there was one stage, there was 24,000 people working there when I was a kid, and the traffic was horrendous, because 5 o'clock, they'd come out, and bomb burst everywhere. People, obviously, a lot of the people used to always use this after work for a couple of points and things like that. They lived, obviously, you lost the trade from that. You got to try and get more trading. But now the area seems to be building up now, like with houses and all the supermarkets and all that. And we put out flyers, try and get good people in.
Patricia Harrison. Well, I used to work down here, cleaning, as back as 84, I think it was 84. But I'd been coming down to the club before that. So, coming down to the club, in actual facts, about 30 years or some so. We got a baby that was very naughty. He wouldn't sleep day or night, and my husband said, you've got to have a break, so go and find a friend to go out with. So we started going out to bingo. But I've lived around here for 49 years, come July. And this place was only a small place then, and there used to be a cottage next door with an elderly lady. This was just a shed at that far back. But I didn't come down when it was like a shed. I'd got 6 girls, and they all did different rooms, and then we'd move round each week, But I love the club. We come down, we have a good evening. We come down Tuesdays and Fridays and have a very good evening. And my son's worked up there. But because they lost their jobs overnight, which was terrible. One lives at Derby. He got a job over Derby. The other one, he worked up here, and he worked for BMW, because BMW bought it over. And my son worked there, and then they moved over to Kingsbury, the other side of Birmingham, like over Sutton Coldfield. And he's still working there, yes. But the oldest son, he was a manager, and they come and said, your job's finished today. Just no warning and nothing. And then he went into the pub business, and then he's got 2 young lads he looks after. He's the house father, because his wife, had problems. So he's got the 2 boys. Yeah. It was a very sad day, not just for my family, but for everybody. Everybody that worked at Rover. I mean, did lots of, you know, thousands of jobs, and they couldn't get jobs. You just could not get jobs because there were so many out of work applying for the jobs. And there's still people that haven't got jobs. So that's how it goes. It happens everywhere now, doesn't it? So.
Dana Cox. My dad had had a heart attack, and his friend brought me and my brother down to a Saturday night dance to cheer us up because he was in hospital. And that was the beginning, except for when I was having the children, because I had bad pregnancies. And once I had the three children, one after the other, nobody wanted to babysit. It's the best place I've ever been in. So obviously this is why, and I only live around the corner. Because when my husband and I got married, he decided he wanted to live near the club, but, and also my mother. But as I say, we all used to use the club. So it was we wanted to stay local. He did work at Rover for a short time, but he left. So as I say, it was, you haven't got the Rover workers anymore. A lot of people have passed away. They've also moved on to other parts. So, yeah, we're dwindling down to just a few now. There's only a few of my friends from the old days that's still around that come in here. It seems to be getting better just lately. Yeah, I think they could, well, you know, they do try to do what they can. I only come down on bingo nights now, unless my son comes up from Wales, and he's still a member, and he lives in Wales, and I have to pay his membership every year. Because he loves the place. But his wife's down there. He's working in a factory at the moment, but he's not, because he lives in Newtown, but there's no jobs there, so I think he's working near Telford. I don't know what he's doing because he's just changed his job. And I probably would probably go straight over my head anyway if he tried to describe what he was doing. But he was trained as a furniture. He used to make furniture. That's what he was trained as, but now he does anything. Window fitting, roofing. He's trained in lots of different jobs. Well, the son lives round the corner, but he's not, since his dad died, he don't come in there anymore. It's £2.04 for him. So, but he works at Cadbury's. But, as I say, I've tried to talk him into staying down here, but he just couldn't, because he's... He used to come and play snooker with his dad all the time.
I came to work for the old Aston when they built the road, and not the road, the overhead road from the Westworks that used to do all the welding, and the car bodies used to go over the overhead road to the cabs, and then they'd be finished off as finished cars. And I worked on that overhead road in 1967. And I came in this club when we were working there. We used to come in here and have a... In them days, you could have a couple of pints. There was no health and safety then. But you used to nip down there and have a couple of pints and then go back to work.
It's a long time ago, Desi.
That overhead road that used to be on the... You know, the when you go up to the Flower Island, the overhead road used to take the car bodies from the Westworks, from the welding, over to the cabs. And then the cabs would do all the finishing work. And then they'd go up to the end of the line and get passed off by... where you finish your car off?
Well, yeah, final inspection. The car line final inspection.
Yeah.
Final inspection.
But that was, as far as I'm concerned, 1967, 68. This club,
yeah,
a lot smaller than this, mate. There was a couple of snooker tables in here. There wasn't this big lounge. The TV room, which had a small sort of like TV, which if you go out there on your left where that corridor is, that's where the TV room was. If you wanted to go and watch how your horses are losing, that's where you went, or sport or whatever. But the main bar was like where the bar is now. But this room here was like a couple of snooker tables. And there was ramp seats over the back there by that wall. Used to have like three tier seats, so you could watch people playing snooker.
And if you remember, Desi, you know what I'm saying now. If you remember, this club used to be called Little Cardiff Arms
Little
Park.
Little Cardiff Arms.
Because all the Welsh boys that moved up from the valleys, when the valleys was started to go down, and they all moved up to work in a car factory, it was the Welsh boys that started this club off. And because all the Welsh boys was on the committee, he was called Little Cardiff Arms Park because it was all Welsh people that run this club for years and years and years, like, you know. There's and a, over the years, obviously, things have changed, but it was, wasn't it?
There's a photograph somewhere of this club on the corner when the Welsh people started this club off.
Like a house, didn't
it? Yeah, it was like a house, you know what I mean?
I think instead of a club. Somewhere, the people.
Yeah, we've seen it.
Yeah. But as clubs go, this is a good club. It's a great club. It's a good club to be a membership of, and it's a great club. And there's some lovely people. Lovely people use this club. Nice people.
It's
everything, isn't it? Everything.
You have to. They've got a big back room at the back. Mm. You've got this little lounge here with the music on and stuff like that. You have to go like that to make a profit, but you have to, you know,
survive.
Cater for everything.
But, I mean, I remember this club 12, 15 years ago. You know, Robert used to drink in there. You had the entertainment up there Thursday, Friday. Saturday and Sunday. Now, because of, I don't know what's changed, financial reasons or whatever, you get like Friday and Saturday.
Friday, Saturday.
Do you still get the Sunday in here?
No, because it died a death and then we cancelled it. They cancelled the Thursday.
But I can guarantee you, 10, 12 years ago, this lounge in here would have been packed. Yeah. I think it's when that closed up there.
It did have an impact, didn't it?
Of course it did.
Because people used to come in here. I mean, they got the choice. They got here or the Aston Club across the road. But both places would have been filled at the same time. So you weren't snatching business off here and we weren't snatching business off them. But eventually, when that closed up there, everybody's head went down and it, all of a sudden, Thursday nights were stopped. Instead of, like, this place being full, it was like half full. You still get a good crowd in there, and they're lovely people as well. But I think at the end of the day, I think it's financial, to be honest. People can't afford to go out like Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. So what they do is they might come out Saturday night. You know, we can afford that. I think it's all down to do with that, you know.
Well, even on a Friday and a Saturday night, people are coming out later now. Because if you weren't in here by
9 o'clock,
you weren't
in
here by half 7, 8 o'clock, you wouldn't get a seat.
Well, 20 years ago,
them days have gone.
Unfortunately, 100%.
If you weren't in here by half 7, 8 o'clock, on a Friday night or a Saturday night,
you wouldn't get a seat. No way, you get a seat.
But unfortunately, them days are gone.
It's my club and I love it, you know what I mean? I love the people, I love the crack in this club. But unfortunately, there's not as many people use it as used to. If you go back to the old Austin, when, if you worked at the Austin, your son or your daughter, they would go in there and get a job. And you called apprentices and stuff like that. They had clubs up here, the apprentices' clubs, and it was like a family thing. If you worked at the Austin years ago, you would get your son in there on an apprenticeship, but you had to be working there. You couldn't like come in as a stranger and get a job there. So the father would get the son a job, or the daughter a job. And they would get their sons and daughters same way. But then you got like the youngsters were sort of going, I don't want to work on the track. I want to do something else. Like, you know, as technology goes on and on like that. And they were going, I don't want to work on a track dad all my life. I want to go and do something else. But in the early days, the 50s and 60s, if your dad was working here, your dad would get you a job, guaranteed. But you had to be a family member. Now, it's like, who's working for car company? I mean, MG up the road at the roundhouse. Have you been up there?
Yeah.
At the roundhouse. I worked in the roundhouse 10 years ago. Refurbished. We've done the old pipe fitting in there. But it's all MG now. It's not like, you know, people like us, we've gone by the way now. It's just MG workers now. The old foundries, remember the old foundries?
Yeah.
What was it called? Light powdered sand, LPS. You just got to work there. And you come home at night and you would smell of the sand that was used for the engine maintenance. And you could sit by someone and they go, you're working on the LPS, aren't you? I say, how do you know that? He says, I can smell it off you, mate.
The same in the paint shop, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. The paint shop. Yeah. The old Kanban, Northworks, the old foundry. Yeah. And you know what the other one was? Hot press stamping. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Hot press stamping. Well, you know the railway line? From over here through to the Austin, when all the products were brought in by train.
Yeah.
Mm. Right at the side, there was at least 40 big stamping presses, and it was called hop press stamping. And the old boys that used to work there, used to have like vests, like a sweatband around the top of the head. And they would be working there 10 hours a day. Bang, bang, bang. That's all you'd hear was bang, bang, bang.
Yeah.
Hot brass stamping. That was like early 60s, that was. Great memories, you know.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, them people. You know when you talk about people working now, and they think, oh, this job's a bit hard, and this job's a bit hard. Them lads, they just get like a 10-minute tea break, something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then back to work. And then we'd be working 10 hours a day.
We're struggling, but we're still holding our own. But hopefully we'll still be,
I think we're just hanging on, to be honest with you.
A lot of clubs, even locally and around the country, have gone to the wall, but...
I think we're all just about on level at the moment, yeah. Maybe a wee bit above it, but we are holding...
Yeah, we are all
on
our own, yeah.
More than some of
you. See, to go back to what you were talking about there, Thatcher and Thatcherism, I think she killed this kind of community that we have here. I think she killed it, to be honest with you. She killed, like... excuse me. If you kill the miners, or put them in their place, as she said, and you put working class people in their place, then I think you've lost it, haven't you, really? Because it's working class people who come in here and they have a laugh and a joke and a few drinks and stuff like that. I mean,
working class people that build
the country. You go through Wales, Scotland, Yorkshire, Lancashire. She decimated the whole thing, didn't she? She really did. You know, to me.
She didn't say that. She didn't like you.
No, she didn't say it. She's just done it.
She didn't like the working people being represented by unions.
Exactly. You know. Yeah. Well, but at the end of the day.
She destroyed the unions, didn't she?
She
destroyed
the
whole bunch of effort. End of story.
I'm not saying unions were right all the time.
No, they were.
Because, I mean, the unions up here, when Red Robber was up there, he took the piss big time.
Yeah.
He took the piss big time. But that doesn't make a union wrong because of one man. Scargill, he done the same with the miners.
Yeah.
You know, he said he represented the miners. But you know what? It was all about him wasn't about the miners, was it? It was about him.
You know, an argument between the leader of the union and the government, Maggie Thatcher. And, it was a personal fight.
I'm going to tell you a story now. It's a true story, right? There was a fella, I can't think of his name now. He was a leader of the union back in the late 60s, early 70s. I can actually see him now. And this man, was it Gormley or something like that? It's Joe Gormley. Joe Gormley.
Yeah.
Right? He was representing about 500,000-600,000 union members. Miners, coal workers, all that. I was watching Royal Ascot, because I like my racing. I was watching Royal Ascot. He pulls up in a Rolls Royce, comes out, put the top hat and all the gear on, and is walking through, you know, Royal Ascot. And I thought,
feathers there, top hat, what's all that about?
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Well, you know, to me, double standards, mate. If you're one of us, you're one of us.
Yeah.
If you're not, then, you know, just walk away.
A union's a union.
Joe Gormley, that was his name, Joe Gormley.
The leader of the union, as I say, shouldn't be the leader. He's an elected chief representative, and he should represent the union. But they were doing it for their own purposes.
Mm-hmm. My dad and my uncles used to come here when it was a wooden shack, because I've lived up here all my life. And they used to come here then. I celebrated my 16th birthday here, and I'm 56 now, so that was 40 years ago. and then, like, I've only recently, like I say, the last, I should imagine, 10 years, been a full member of the club, like, and coming. But what I'd like to say about this club is that me and my husband lost our son 2 years ago. Our own child. This club did such a lot. Because my son was a member of the club as well. And I just wanted to say, the pool team, they donated all their winnings to us. Because what we'd done, me and my husband wanted to do a memorial garden at home for our son. And we couldn't do it because we could do it, but we needed donations, not flowers, because we had to take it's about 8 foot long, 10 foot long, and all I got was green conifers. That was 7 foot high and that. So I needed to take all of those out and build my garden there for Jamie, like. And these lot here, like I said, the pool team donated all their winnings to us, plus everybody else earning their own donations. And then when I was strong enough to come back out again, they're just like a big family. They look, I know that I can come out here on my own without my husband, which I have done this afternoon. And if anything went on or whatever have you, if anybody would be there for me. They was all here for me when I started coming back in. And it's just a wonderful place to be at the moment. Because to me, this is my extended family. Because the way they are. And I'm sorry for crying. And my son was well, as well. Up here. Wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a wonderful club.